Come on, clap. Get loud. Get loud in the house. Are you going to come up? Why don't you get your heart prepared for what the Lord wants to reveal to you? Maybe ask him to give you eyes to see what you've never seen before. So maybe put your hand on your heart. God, this space is yours, and we give it to you, and we surrender this moment in time to you to say, have your way. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would reveal to us and minister to us and speak to us in brand new ways. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing on Pastor Ruth. Ask that you would minister to her and through her, and that there would be transformation in the house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you like the title? Do you ever wonder about that title, Where the Rubber Meets the Road? What does that mean? Today, it is about faith. I don't know if you know it, but faith is like a key ingredient in the kingdom of God. It's really important, faith is. And it is so important and so critical that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I didn't make that up. That's in Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so this means that it does hold great importance in our life. And it's really easy to treat faith as casual. You can believe, not believe, whatever. It doesn't affect anyone. It's no big deal. But that is not true. Faith is absolutely essential to your daily life. Not your Sunday morning, but your daily life. And it's the place where we exercise faith in our walk with God is where the rubber meets the road. Where you actually walk out what you believe. That's what rubber meets the road. So there's this quote I found, and his name was Jordan Peterson, and he actually wrote a book. I had never heard of the book, so I didn't even write it down. But anyway, it says this. You can only find out what you actually believe rather than what you think you believe by watching how you act. You get that? For instance, I have the best illustration for what that all meant. I truly believe that as a people, we need to exercise. I actually believe that. I don't go to the gym. I don't get on a bike. I do believe that we should exercise. I do pray walk, and that counts. Can you see what I'm talking about? We can say that we believe. We can say that this is what we should do. This is what is essential to us. But what do we actually do? That's the important thing. And so, see, our mouths can profess we believe, but our responses expose what we actually believe. And there's no hiding. It shows up really loud. And I see it in my own life in areas where I begin to be challenged. And so, because faith is not a passive word, it is actually an action. Faith is an action. And Paul tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians that we need to walk by faith. That all through your day, everywhere you go, you need to have faith as a part of you that you're walking by faith. It's a part of your lifestyle, walking by faith. And in other words, that no matter how we perceive life situations, when we come against a challenge. And I know some of you have had a challenge this week. Brenda had a huge challenge this week. How our heart handles those hardships, it reveals whether we walk by faith or not. It really does. It shows up very clearly. And I understand that there are thousands of messages out there about faith and what it is and how to move it. And maybe you're wondering, why are you talking about it again? Well, I'm telling you something. I believe that we need to be challenged, greatly challenged, to do a checkup. It's actually time that we up our game. It's time to move into a new perspective on faith. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, where are you at in your journey of faith? Because each of you are at a different place. And so my heart cries out and it says, Holy Spirit, you have to speak to us today. You have to make your word that is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It has to actually penetrate our heart and show us where we're at and what we're, how we are doing. And so I found a fascinating verse. I don't know how I missed this verse in scripture all these years. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, there's a fascinating verse. And it says this, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. How many of you have been doing that? Yeah. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. To me, that's like, test where you're at with the walk of faith. How are you responding to the situations and the things you're facing? How much are you actually believing God? So I want to give you an example. So, for instance, worry. Is there anybody here that never worries? I don't see any hands. Okay, so what is your emotional response to anxiety? My heart rate can go up. I can have panic. I can let fear in the door. Because we all face worry. And we face anxiety. It's one of the tools the enemy uses against us. It's one of his favorite tools to use. Make you afraid and make you worry. And he wins a lot. And so do you do that? Or do you remember what the word of God, which commands us this, casting all my cares upon him, for he careth for me. You familiar with that verse? Do we actually do that? If you look at Matthew 6:25, he takes it a little bit further. He goes, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or sow food into barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? So he's saying, hey, why do you worry? Why do you stress? And so that's an example of what I'm talking about by faith. When you start to feel that come upon you, what do you do with it? Do you immediately say, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do in this situation? Because this does not look good. So my second example is like, what is your emotional response to what's happening right now in the world or in the United States? You hear these phrases thrown around like the stock market is going to crash. There will be no food. War will break out. There's a collapse of our banking system on the edge. And what you believe about God shows up big time in how you perceive those news flashes. It becomes this challenge between faith and fear. And which one will win? That's what you have to ask yourself. What do you do with those things that come against you? Do you walk by faith and not by sight? What do you do? So in 1 Peter 1:6-7, it says this. So be truly glad. This is not my favorite verse, by the way. There is this wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. And these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And though your faith is far more precious than gold, so when your faith remains strong through these trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So let's talk about faith for a minute. Faith at its most basic form is believing God. Yeah. Trusting that he actually is who he says he is. That he'll actually do the things that he's written in his book. And you have to say, do I believe that? You need to believe that, church. You need to believe that he is who he says he is. And that he actually will do what he says he will do. So have any of you ever heard of something called core strength? If you go to the gym, you hear about it. Oh no, we're back to exercise again. It's always calling me. Thank you, Lord. Core strength is important. Do you know why core strength is important? Did you know that it helps prevent injuries? Like strains and sprains and those kind of things? Did you know it improves your posture and reduces back problems? Did you know there's better balance and coordination with core strength? It actually improves your athletic performance, you volleyball, soccer people. So your faith is your core. It's your core strength. And it can improve with exercise. The scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you fill yourself with God's word, you read those stories. Yeah, you read those stories of God moving through its pages. You read about men crying out for the sun to stand still, and it stands still. You read about a man thrown into a lion's den and never even touched, not a scratch on him. You read about stories of Red Seas opening and the whole group going through. Did you know they went through by faith? The Egyptians did not go through by faith. It was not a good ending. It was not a good ending for them. So you see the impossible played out in thousands of ways, and your core begins to be strengthened. The more that you read in the word, the more you hear the stories, more you hear testimonies like Ference's testimony to me, it of how God had worked and brought just the right person in, and how they don't have to have two surgeries and all these things, that God answered their prayer. It goes, oh, wow, look how God moved. I've even heard of stories today about how God takes what the enemy meant for harm and uses it for good. That's amazing. And when you hear that, then when you face those situations, you go, oh, that's a possibility. I can walk in this. I can walk through faith because of God and who he is. So I want to tell you a fascinating story. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, but mostly I'm going to tell you the story, and it's not a very long story. And it's found in the book of Isaiah, and it's about a king called Ahaz. And two different nations, one from Israel and one from Syria, came against him. And it did not look good. And if you look at verse 2 of Isaiah 7, verse 2, it says this. The news that came to the royal court of Judah. Syria is allied with Israel against us. And then look what it says. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in a storm. Ever feel like that? And so God, in his grace and mercy, he sends a prophet to Ahaz, and he says to him, you don't have to worry about it. I got you covered. Ahaz did not exercise faith much, because he had sent gold from the temple to the Assyrians to come in and attack. And so he didn't think that he needed God. He thought his ways and his figuring it out was better than what the prophet had to say. And so then I come to a verse, verse 9, and I want it on the screen, and I want you to look at this verse, and it says this. It's talking about what's going on, and then at the end it says, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Unless you are standing believing God, I cannot make you stand before stronger. That's the whole basis of it. And it's actually a Hebrew play on words, that whole phrase, that unless your faith is firm, it cannot stand firm. And it really connects unbelief with instability. And that's really a picture of what happens in our lives when we don't stand believing God, then we become unstable in our ways. And God is wanting you to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing right now in your life, and there's challenges across this room, and I've heard many of them, and they're not little. Even this morning, Jamie's not here because their basement flooded this morning. These things are coming against you. And unless you stand and say, okay, God, you either have this or I'm sunk. You have to be the one that deals with this. You have to be the one that I lean into. You have to be the one that I trust. You are the King of eternal, and there's nothing too hard for you. And what's happening in my life is not too hard for you to deal with. And then you lean into it and say, Father, come and work. And then you don't try to figure out how to do it. You wait. You wait. So unless our faith is firm, we cannot stand firm. So in the Bible, it's interesting that it shows us some different levels of faith. And so I thought maybe, you know, if you're doing a faith check and you're seeing if your faith is genuine and where you're kind of at, maybe you'll see where you fit into this, okay? So the first one is little faith, okay? We probably all exercise little faith. And it's when our heart wrestles between hope that God will do something and uncertain whether he actually will. Ever been there? Yeah. And little faith whispers, I know God can, but I'm not sure if he will. And I find myself there often. I know that the word says he does this, but will he? And Jesus speaks to those of little faith, and he encourages them to move deeper. He doesn't say, why are you so bad at believing me? Why can't you trust me? He's not like that. Instead, he's trying to encourage you to step up, take another move, move into an area, an arena that you haven't been in before. And so people of little faith often stay at that level because they keep their focus on themselves and what's happening around them, on their abilities and their resources, instead of looking to him. And church, I understand it's a challenge. But God is calling to us today, and he's saying, church, get prepared. You have to be ready, and how you get ready is by increasing how you believe me. So I want to just share a couple stories from the Bible that where you see the little faith. One is the disciples are all together, and man, if anybody's going to believe God, it should be the disciples, right? Because they walked with him. They saw everything. They got it. If we could only just be by Jesus, we would believe. And so they're in a boat, and Jesus is in the back sleeping, and a terrible storm comes up, and they're so afraid. And they go and shake him awake, and they say, Lord, save us. And if the scripture verse is starts with verse 26, I think. It says this, but he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose, and he rebuked the waves and the sea, and there was this great calm. And then the men marveled, and they say, oh, who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Is that not crazy? They're his disciples. They're walking with him. And yet in this situation, they're like, who can this be? Even the sea obeys him. Do you ever feel like that? Like God is so odd you that you're like, how can this be? How could God have done? I have seen God do that in my life. Some things that I'm like, I stand in awe to this day. How did you do that, God? How did you possibly do what you did? It's so amazing, and it touches my heart every time I consider it. And then there's the story of Peter, and he's in the boat, and it's nighttime, and they're not with Jesus. And they see something walking across the water. Trust me, that would be scary, right? Would you be afraid? And Jesus says something fascinating. He said, hey, it's me. Here I am. It's me. And Peter says, well, if it's really you, let me walk on the water to you. And he says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins walking towards Jesus. But the problem is, instead of keeping his eyes fixed on him, he starts to look around him, and he starts to see the churning sea, and he starts to see the waves going up, and I don't know, maybe he saw a shark, who knows, but he saw something, and he became terrified, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. And Jesus says in verse 8, he says, on verse 31, sorry. It says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and they worshiped him and they said, truly, you are the Son of God. You see, Father God is always wanting you to understand that he is the Son of God, that he is the mighty one, that he is able, that he can do the impossible. He's always in your life trying to show you his great love for you, his great sacrifice for you, his heart for you. If we truly understood and believed God's heart for us, we would walk and live differently. And so the last one is a real simple one. They were, again, I think they were in, I don't know if they were in a boat or what, but they had already seen Jesus multiply the fish and the loaves. Like that would have been astounding, watching that continuously multiply and having 12 basket loads left over. It would have been crazy to see that. And they had been when the 4,000 were fed. And again, there was leftovers, and they had seen all of that. And he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they're all like, oh my word, what are we going to do? We forgot to bring bread. We should have been thinking ahead. We should have had bread for him. He's wondering about the bread. And their hearts go there. And if you look at the verse in chapter 16, verse 8, it says, and Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, Oh, you of little faith, why did you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Did you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 or the basket and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? You see, we need to keep in our mind all the things God's done for us because we forget. Oh, my word, we're trying to make a timeline of the church for the Festival of Gratitude and put together all the things God's done in this body of people from the beginning. When was that? How did that? What did we do? When was... You know what I'm saying? You forget the goodness of God in our lives. And that's when the Israelites got in trouble, when they forgot the goodness of God. And that's when they lost faith, is when they forgot the goodness of God. And so we must have remember the goodness of God. So the second level is great faith. Woohoo! All of us want great faith. I do. It's faith that is walking towards more. It's faith that's not satisfied with where you're at. It's people in this category stand on the truth of God's word. And I do that. God, your word says, by his stripes we are healed. Those kind of things. Do you pray those? I say, Lord, you say that you give us your health. And so I just thank you for health on my body today. You know, those kind of things, you do that. Great faith proclaims over all the things that God does. He says that he'll take care of our financial needs. Do you actually believe that? Yes. Do you believe that he can provide where there is no provision? Because I saw him do it in the word over and over. He brought bread and something to Elijah with a raven brought it. You know, come on, God is able. We have to be looking to him to do the things that we need in our lives. You have impossible things before you. You prayed about them this morning, but God wants to actually work in them. He wants to do something. And so I'm just going to quickly do it instead of showing you the scriptures and stuff, but I want to back up a minute. People of great faith, they don't need proof just to know the one who promised. They just have absolute trust. And the focus is on the Savior and not their problem. And they believe that God is bigger than their situations. And the woman who had a daughter that she wanted healed, and she went to Jesus and she begged for him, and he kind of put her off, and she contended for it. And God spoke to her and said, "Oh, woman, of great is your faith." And the centurion soldier, when he wanted to come and heal his servant, and he said, "Hey, you don't have to come to my house." Wow, that's faith. I'd have been like, "I'll take your hand, let's go." You know, that. And this is what Jesus said to him. I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. So there's pictures of great faith. And then the last one is perfect faith. Perfect faith is a resting faith. Not only can God do this, but it's a done deal. That's the heart of a perfect faith. Not only can he do it, but it's done. And when you operate at this level of trust of God, you know you have what you asked for, because his word gives you full assurance that that's what will happen. Wow. And you don't worry and try to figure out ways to make it happen, and you don't manipulate people to make it happen. You operate from complete rest, a full understanding of those who love. And if you want a picture of great faith, it's Jesus when he curses the fig tree in Matthew 21. And immediately the fig tree began to dry up, and all of the men around them are just like, how is this possible? How could this happen? And Jesus says, to tell you the truth, if you have faith and you don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. And you can pray for anything, And if you have faith, you will receive it. And that mountain thrown into the sea, all the Israelites knew that the symbol for a mountain was all the problems you had. They knew. So a person with great faith trusts in what God has said. So where the rubber meets the road, it's pretty important. It's that moment of truth where we actually believe God for what he says. And when your faith is challenged, you know what level of faith you are really at. And God desires that you fully believe and fully trust him. If you look at Colossians 2, 6, and 7, look at this passage with me. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And then it says, rooted and built up in him. And what is that last phrase? Can you say it with me? Established in the faith. Are we in Colossians 2, 6, and 7? There it is. Rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with what? With thanksgiving. So our nation and our world is a mess right now. You don't need me to tell you that. And all of what we know and understand is being challenged. It really is. And the word truth is thrown around thoughtlessly. And it's a very difficult time that we live in. And today's message is to remind you that in the midst of it all, God has not changed. That he's still the Lord. That he's still working in our lives and in the world. And his desire for you to live and operate from a place of faith is, and greater faith than that, he wants you to operate from perfect faith. He wants you to believe him. Is it so hard to believe him? And the Lord brought this verse out of Jeremiah to me. And this is what, and you're familiar with it because we quote it. But it says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. He thinks thoughts of peace and not of evil. That's his thoughts for you. He thinks thoughts to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And so, what a beautiful picture of his heart for you as you lean into faith, as you lean into believing God for who he is and what he wants to do. You see, little faith isn't going to work in today's world. We have to up our game in order to stand in the place where God is calling us to stand. Not only for you, but for those that live around you. You stand on their behalf. You tell them, well, this is what God is going to do. This is who God is, and he loves you, and he'll take care of you, and he'll meet your needs. You have to be able to do that. And I want to close with a verse. It's a beautiful verse from the beloved disciple. It's out of 1 John 5:4. And I'd like you to stand, and I want us to read it together. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What a declaration. Our faith is what brings us to a place of living an overcoming lifestyle. And so as he plays this morning, I want to pray over you that you would hear the voice of the Lord stirring your heart to believe him in those places where it's difficult. I am telling you, as an example standing before you, I've been in the worst places and I've seen God deliver impossible situations. I have seen God provide in
astounding ways. I've seen God shift and take what the enemy meant for harm and turn it for good. I have seen God move. And he wants you to believe him. He wants you to walk in faith and not by sight. And so I'm going to ask God to do that over you this morning. Father, you switched this whole message up. This is what you said you wanted. And so I'm asking you to stir your people this morning. I'm asking, Lord, that you would deposit over them a new measure of hope, a new measure of being able to say, yes, I will trust you, Father. Yes, I will believe you. And I'm asking, Lord, that everyone here that's carrying something that has been just tearing you up, that you would just lift it up and give it to him this morning and say, Father, by faith, I leave this in your hands. And in return, you give me peace and hope. And you give me great rest. And so then I want you to just take that, what he's giving you. He's giving you peace. An incredible peace is just going to fall upon you right now. Do you feel it in your heart and in your mind? It's coming upon you. It's from the Father. It's a gift to you this morning. And I feel like the Lord is wanting you to understand that he's going to encourage you in your faith. He's going to encourage you to step in another step up. And that he's going to be there as you do that. Because he's preparing you, church. He is preparing you not only for the days to come, but for eternity. He's preparing you. And he's placing situations in your life that are difficult that you might say, but I know what God does. And I know what he will do in my situation. And I choose to trust him because he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one who is and was and ever will be. And he never changes. We thank you, Lord, for the wind of your Spirit across this room, touching our hearts, oh God, shifting us, tearing out old mindsets, and allowing us to stand and believe. Love to pray over you this morning. There's others of the teams that will come and pray. Because he's so good.
Blessing that I usually share at the end of the service. I really do that because I believe what it says in the verse following that blessing. God says, so if you put my name on the children of Israel, then I will bless them. So I do it so that God can bless you, because that's what he promised. Amen. So receive his blessing this morning. Put your hand in your heart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you.